on the air on this Wednesday, December 29th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, only 3 days left in 2021. Then we will be on to 2022. Don't forget that Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, 12 to 1 today. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 until 7 on this station, your favorite station, WWGH Radio, where the G stands for Geraldo. That's what it stands for now, Glenn.
Okay. That's good. I like that. And most people would think Geraldo wasn't a G.
No. But, you know, that turned out well, and we're all very happy. One thing I wanted to talk about this morning, though, was yesterday the passing of John Madden.
Yeah.
A very, you know, even if you didn't like him, and even if you don't remember him, and even if you're not a football fan, he was one of those guys that transcended the sport.
Yeah.
Very few people did not know John Madden's name.
Well, and, you know, he was involved in his names on all those
games
and stuff like that. He had, even a kid would know who he was. And he seemed like a genuinely nice guy, and I hope he was. You know, I was in that business for 18 years of intercollegiate athletics, and I met an awful lot of people that I wouldn't categorize as nice guys. But usually you could tell whether they were or weren't from their on-air personalities. Sometimes you can't, but he did seem like a genuinely caring person.
You know, there are two things about him, and you being in this that business, sports broadcasting and sports in general, there are two things that always surprise me about John Madden. Almost every other coach I know who ended up in a broadcast booth, and there are a lot of them, Mike Ditka did broadcasting for a while. Jimmy Johnson did broadcast. I think still does.
Yeah, he still does.
Yeah, a lot of those former coaches do end up as broadcasters at some point.
And neither one of those two are my favorites.
but they always get called back. Some team always comes to them and says, "Well," and they do it for the money.
Yeah.
John Madden never left the broadcast booth when he went into it. And he was a very successful coach.
Yeah,
he was. Never went back.
He won one Super Bowl.
Yeah, why do you think he never went back when they all do? I can't think of another one who didn't.
Well, my grandson is going to be a pitcher for North Carolina, which is a major program, and so we sat and talked about all the ugliness in that business and what he needed to look for. And what he needed to stay away from. He wanted to know what Grandpa thought of all the ugliness in intercollegiate sports, and I assume pro sports. And there is a lot of ugliness, and I bet he just got tired of being phony, got tired of bending the rules to fit, even though they probably were known to be against the rules. Every year I was told when you're in intercollegiate athletics, you're required to report to your supervisor any infractions that you see going on. And I did that for 18 years, and for 18 years my boss, my first 5 years my boss was a priest, and he would follow up. But after that, my AD would take my letter to him, and I think it got thrown in the shredder. Nothing was ever done.
And the other question is, John Madden certainly was not what we would call a technically sound broadcaster.
No, absolutely
but
not.
But yet...
But he was fun. He wasn't sound.
Yeah. So, and I think he'll primarily be remembered as a broadcaster more than a coach.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think he was there.
He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he was also, he broadcast so many Super Bowls.
He
was, you know, there every Sunday.
When did he quit? Do you know?
I don't think it's been all that long ago. Probably within the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was the last 10 years. But I wonder if it wasn't like a couple years ago. It was fairly recently, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't gone too long.
Yeah.
But he was the guy in broadcasting for football.
Yeah.
If he wanted the job, you know, it was offered to him. And I wonder why this guy had that. What was it about him? Because he wasn't the technically sound broadcaster.
Well, I think he was a lot like you. He would always tell the truth, no matter whether it was pretty or ugly. And I think that really endeared him to a lot of people like me, who like to hear the truth rather than made up crap.
Well, you know, I was trying to think of this morning. Football, now baseball breeds color men, color analysts.
Yeah,
I was trying
to have so much time to talk. Yeah.
And I was trying to think, who are the color analysts in football? And there, I couldn't think of any. But John Madden was a color man. He was not a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one, too, and I can't think of one right off the bat.
So I wonder why he was able to do that when others were not.
Well, one of the things is he won the Super Bowl, so he had some cred. He knew what he was talking about. And because he wouldn't lie about it, he knew what he was talking about, and he was going to tell you the truth the way he saw it, whether he was right or wrong, and he didn't mind people telling me he was full of poop.
But you know what? I also got the impression he was a big guy.
Yeah, he was.
He nobody looked like him, and I don't think he cared.
He wasn't a real handsome guy, but he wasn't scary looking.
No, I don't think he cared. I think he showed up, and he did his job, and he had a good time.
I think he was well prepared, too. That's one of the things I found about the coaches that I respect from days gone by, were the coaches who were well prepared and able to bend with things as they happen. And I think he was that way.
I never got the impression when you listened to John Madden that he was not enjoying his job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think he really, really liked it. Yeah. And I don't think you can fake that.
No, you can't. You can't.
And there was nothing phony about him. I don't think he ever thought what was coming out of his brain when it hit his mouth. I don't think he ever tempered it.
No.
And I think people, even if they don't like what you say because it's honest, I do think they appreciate you more than a phony baloney person.
Yeah. I never met John Wooden, and I met an awful lot of those famous guys. Dick Vitale is one that, when I'm thinking of Madden, I also think of Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale would kind of adjust the truth.
Yeah, he had his own way.
Yeah, Dick and I weren't great friends, but we were good acquaintances. When he'd see me, he knew who I was. And but I never really respected him on the air because I knew he would phony baloney some.
Yeah, well, and it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of broadcasters, really, the goal is to be liked.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, if you know something's going to tick somebody off, you don't want to say it. But I don't know. I always found John Madden very fun to watch, if you were going to watch him. I found he did those commercials, so he didn't take himself very seriously. Yeah. And I think that's really the hallmark of a great broadcaster. And more of them, seemingly for me, in baseball. Harry Carey, Joe Nuxall, Ernie Harwell, Vin Scully, Phil Rizzuto. I don't think they were the technically sound bunch, but
Jack Brickhouse?
Jack Brickhouse, absolutely. Jack Brickhouse would fall in that category. And who else am I forgetting? There are some other great ones, too. But they are so, they were honest. They had a way of speaking. They got it. You know, it's not rocket science. That's the first thing.
I think that's why people loved Harry Carey, is because he never glossed over anything.
No, no, no.
He just told it the way he saw it.
But you know the thing about Harry Carey that drives me nuts, and I love Harry Carey.
What's that?
Everybody remembers him with the Cubs because of the proliferation.
The White Sox before the Cubs.
Listen to a White Sox game. Yeah. Harry Carey was a very proficient broadcaster.
Yeah, I think he was.
As life and strokes and age set in, he was a little more goofy, and that's how people portray him because that's what they remember at the end of his life. But when he was with the Sox, if you listen to those radio broadcasts, he's a very good broadcaster.
And it's the game of baseball is a tough game to know everything. I used to go, my youngest son, who was an All-American baseball player, he played for Coach Sholley, who knew everything about the sport. And we would go to his practices, and I had been in athletics for 18 years at that time, or 15 years at that time, and I would learn something at every single practice because he was so intelligent about that. And I think Harry was very intelligent about all the nuances of baseball, which are, you know, how do you get a kid out, how do you get out of a rundown, you know, that type of thing. And Coach Sholley used to make them practice at least once a week for half an hour, how to get out of a rundown, yeah. You know, that type of stuff.
Well, you know what's funny to me when it comes to the, and I think John Madden was this type too, a lot of people feel, if you watch the evening news, that's a very polished broadcast with a very polished broadcaster who's reading a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say, and I don't remember who it was, but the person came up to him and said, what if somebody, it's 6:29 and you're walking around Rockefeller Plaza and they pull you out of the hallway and they said, listen, Tom Brokaw is sick and you've got to go on live right now.
Yikes.
And here you are and the light's on. What would you do? And the broadcaster said, well, first thing I would say is I was walking through the hallway here at Rockefeller Center. Somebody came up. They pulled me in here. They sat me down. I've never really done this, but this is the first time. I'm going to try to do the best I can, so stick with me. And I think that's the type of broadcaster John Madden was.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I bet that would be true.
Yeah, you're not going to... Why? You're just going to... You're not going to try to come on and go, I'm John Madden with the news tonight, because you think that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Just tell what happened.
Yeah.
The audience will be there with you.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, and I think that's probably why he was so liked.
But a big name. Very big name.
Huge name.
In not just sports, really in pop culture.
Well, I think his name got huge because of all those games.
The video games.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, you know, every Christmas you heard about Madden football or Madden's baseball.
Still do.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
do. And, you know, they were talking about that, too, this morning on one of the news broadcasts, that so many people this year get Madden, whatever, and he's been gone so long from the broadcast booth that... A lot of people don't even know that that's a person.
Really? Yeah. Well, a lot of the young kids probably don't. They haven't heard him.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
That is kind of strange. You don't think about that when you're 75 years old.
No. And, you know, it's people like that who, you know, I don't know. I just think that we may not see their like again because things are getting a little too polished.
I'm not sure if they're getting polished or they're just getting ugly. I hate that polish.
I don't think he would get hired now.
You don't?
No.
I'd hire him.
Well, I think if it's John Madden and you knew the track record, you would hire him.
Yeah.
But I think if that guy walked in and you, oh boy.
You didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I don't think you'd hire him.
Yeah.
And I think that's sad.
I'm trying to think of if there's anybody in that industry, any coach that I would really want to have in that position. I can't think of one right now. Now, I do like, played for Pittsburgh. He does the Sunday sports thing. Real famous Pittsburgh. Oh, shoot. Anyway, there are a few players that I could see doing that. I don't know too many coaches that would be that good at it. Trying to think of one. I can't think of one.
If anybody has a remembrance, by the way, give us a buzz,
740-383-9944. You know, someday I'm going to do one of my shows about coaches and the coaches I've known and the phony baloney-ness that goes on in coaching.
Well, there's a lot of that because, well, why do you think there's a lot of that?
Well, because they're trying to bend the rules so that they can get, like with my grandson, we talked long and hard about the rules that might have been attempted to be bent to get him to come sign with their team. And he was, North Carolina State, North Carolina, Duke. There were several big-name schools that were coming after him. And there were a few of the things that I heard that they were doing that I know are illegal.
Well, why do you think the coach themselves, though, is phony? Well, what do
because
you...
they allow that. They even encourage that kind of thing. I know that there are coaches that if they think they can get away with it, they'll do it, if it'll get them a grade A player. And they'll think of that player as a grade A player. They won't think of him as John Doe. Yeah.
Does a successful coach have to be one who wins all the time?
Yes.
Really?
Well, I mean, right now in college sports, I would say if you don't win, well, pro sports as well, if you don't win, you're gone. Yeah.
Yeah, but are there, I mean, seems to me like there are certain coaches who, there's Joe Paterno would have been one of those. Unfortunately, his career came to an ugly end over something very ugly, and it should have. But, you know, how long was he there? And at his
age,
he really coaching that team anymore?
I don't know. That's a good question. And there are a lot, well, I had very famous coach that I worked with, Ray Meyer, who at the time he was coaching basketball was the winningest active coach in America. And as he got older, he had kind of let it go to his son, Joey, and his son was basically the coach. Now, Ray was always the game coach, but his son did everything else. And his son was good at recruiting.
Well, I always wondered, all those years that Bobby Knight had at Indiana before he was let go, again, for a bad incident, but the last 15 years, they were awful. but they would, you would have never thought of firing Bobby Knight.
Oh, absolutely not. And the people at, my wife is an Indiana grad, and the people at Indiana, my wife hated him, but the people at Indiana, you know, they would kiss the ground that he walked on.
So he was not a winning coach, but yet he was a successful coach.
Yeah, he always was in the NCAA, and that's all they really cared about.
But always out in the first and second round.
Yeah, well, not always, because my team played him once, and we lost, and he was in.
Well, and then he moved to Texas Tech, and that, I mean, I assume they just hired him because it was Bobby Knight.
I'm sure that's what happened,
But yet, he was not successful. Texas Tech is not a hugely successful program now, but it was, I think he transcended that, and I think certain coaches do that.
Well, there is one thing that all coaches have to do, is they have to find a way to get donors. And by Texas Tech hiring him, I would venture to say their donors went way up.
So you don't have to win.
Well, probably not, but you better win. At least you have to be competitive. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If you become somewhat known because you do win, so I think that's probably it. You know, if you lose all the time, you're not gonna ever be well known.
Look what's happened to the OSU football coaches that didn't beat Michigan. They're gone.
Oh, they got And what's going to happen at this Rose Bowl?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
And people are opting out of playing in this Rose Bowl, which I think is kind of interesting.
I didn't hear that.
Well, I don't know. I just saw it in passing. I couldn't tell if it's because of the pandemic or if it's because of the issues Ohio State's having. Does anybody know what's going on with this Rose Bowl? Does Ohio State have a chance to win this thing? I know after that Michigan loss, they are very down in the dumps.
Yeah, yeah, and probably rightfully so, because there is no way in the world on paper they should have beat OSU.
No, and they had come off three wins that were
tough ones. Yeah,
yeah. If they would have lost any of those three games, nobody would have thought anything of it.
Yeah,
they would have said those are tough teams, and then they lost to Michigan, and it was weird.
I was shocked yesterday. I turned on the TV and I forgot what season it was, and there are bowl games going on. When I was in the business, I think there were 26 bowl games. There must be 40, 45 bowl games now. I don't know. Everybody's looking for a way to make money, and that's one of the ways. Jimmy Kimmel has his own bowl?
Well, there you go. I don't know. Weird things go on now.
Yeah, there are.
So who's what's on the Dr. Feinman show today?
Well, I pulled that up so that I can tell you. And
a little plug here.
I lost it. Okay, here it comes. Where did it go?
Coming up at 12:15 on this station.
All right, today we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, is Trump's influence dying or diminishing. We're going to talk about what's going on with the January 6th committee. We're going to talk about the loss of decorum in the Congress. Oh, my goodness. And we're going to talk about... are the threats of inflation and the Omicron virus slowing down? It does seem like people are not so concerned about both of those things. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about. And we'll just, Dr. Feynman's a year older now. He just had his birthday a week ago.
I heard about that. happy belated birthday.
Yeah, and I've been married one more year. I just had my anniversary, so we can't talk about those things. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, you know, it brings me back to Geraldo, because he is on Fox News, and we did talk a little bit about that in the beginning. Yeah. You know, what... do you think there is any kind of balance at Fox News? And by the fact that Geraldo is there, I think you would have to say that there is some kind of balance over there.
Well, as a liberal, I would say it's not very strong balance.
No, it's not. It's
now,
not
in their news section, there's more balance than in their... talking heads section.
Yeah, I think their news there, but I think these people in primetime are probably editorialists.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's probably a news channel, just like MSNBC or anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to be very careful. I listen to MSNBC a lot. I have to be very careful because I have to, when I hear them say something that's maybe a little over the top liberal, I have to say, hey, well, that there was a different side to that question. And I think all people should be critical when they're listening to news. News, and I'm putting in air quotes, news that they hear. Now, there are stations like CNN and even them occasionally are a little over-liberal, but not terribly. But there are places you can go and get real news. I listen to the newscasts sometimes on over-the-air TV channel. In my case, the only channel I get over the air is channel 10, and I listen to their news, and that gives me a little more balance.
Yeah, local news does not really have a slant, I don't think.
Well, yeah, they probably do if they're owned by Sinclair Corporation, like our local radio station is. They're told that they have to be rather conservative, but I think news is news, like at the local level. If there's a car crash, it's going to be a car crash, whether the person driving the car is a Democrat or a Republican. And yeah, I think it's local news is a lot more across the board honest.
Well, I just hope one day that the news cycle gets away from politics.
I do too.
We've gotten way, way, way too, and we've made them famous. And that's a problem, too.
Yeah.
I like that people know who their representatives are and know who their senators are and know who their governors are. But I don't like this idea that I know the congressman from Texas. I know the congressman from Kansas. Well, if you're a student of politics and that's why you know it, that's good. But if you know it just because that's what is the number one show on television now, I don't like that.
Or you got a chance to shake his hand in that one, 30 seconds, and now you're best friends. There are a lot of people like that. Now, the lady I ran against for state representative is still there, but nobody really brings up that she accepted money from, what's his name, the guy that stole $6 million from, I wish people would look into the people they're voting for and know what they are voting for. I was a much better candidate. I swear to gosh, I would have been a much better representative for both Democrats and Republicans than the lady that's in there now.
You know what's interesting to me? The one thing I saw, and it was by people who did not live in Ohio. Now, when Kasich was our governor, Republican, before he ran for president, which really only encompassed, I think, what, the last 2 years of his term. He'd been in office for 6 years.
Yeah.
Kasich was despised in Ohio by the Democrats until that election. Then he became a little more of a centrist, which he was halfway through his last term. But this is the guy who tried to get the union bargaining taken off the table for schools and firefighters and police officers. This is the guy who beat a sitting popular Democratic governor in Strickland and just beat him by a hair. And a lot of people thought he used very dirty tricks to do that. This is the guy who did not show at the Republican convention because he was not the nominee in Cleveland. You know, Kasich was not a popular guy. And a matter of fact, the Republican Party has not sought his endorsement for anything in Ohio since he left.
And yet he's on a lot recent, like in the last 2 years of his running, and also now he's on a lot when some TV station is trying to get a right-winger to sound a little centrist, because he does sound a little centrist.
Which is funny to me when people who don't live in Ohio talk about the Kasich, John Kasich, that he's this great guy, and it's usually Democrats saying that.
Yeah, because he's so much more centrist than he...
But boy, the Democrats did not like him in the first 6 years of his term. He was very unpopular.
Yeah.
And I remember when his collective bargaining thing was beat at the ballot box, and he was ticked. He was ticked. So I'm not really sure. I think he just became an anti-Trump person.
Yeah, I think
and that's
you're
why
right.
They liked him. They liked him because he was anti-Trump.
Well, and that was kind of the focus of a lot of Democrats, which I find annoying that many of us Democrats were anti-Trump. I didn't like Trump. I didn't like all his lies. I didn't like what he did to women and stuff like that. But I wasn't anti-Trump as much as I was anti not taking care of the middle class.
Well, I will say this. DeWine has been in politics as long as Kasich. And I believe DeWine was more of a centrist than Kasich was.
Oh, yeah, I think in actuality, yeah.
Yeah, but yet DeWine had to be endorsed by Trump, so he became more of a Trumper than Kasich
kiss
did.
Kiss the butt that sends you.
Yeah,
right?
Figure it out. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
I didn't know whether, Glenn, you were back yet or not.
I'm back yet.
How was your trip?
What were you going to ask him? Something. I said we'll have to ask him when he comes on.
Oh, no. Boy, I don't remember.
I don't either. We'll think about it.
We'll have to think about it.
What's up in your head?
Well, not too much. Just wanted to mention that in January, when I visit you on the third Thursday,
yep.
I may have to do it over the telephone. I'm having my knee operated on the 17th.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
So I don't know whether I'll be capable of traveling or not.
Will you still be able to run a 10-300?
doubtful. Doubtful. I tell you what, I probably ran too many 5 and 10 Ks over the years. That's probably why my knee's no good anymore.
You skinny guys, you can all run those things.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to be listening to you and your conversation with Dr. Feynman today. I think that's pretty interesting, yeah. And one of these days, sometime in the future, I want to join in on one of those conversations with him.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime you want to.
Talk about presidential history.
Yep.
When I do the show for you in January, I'm planning, I want to talk about this book that I'm just about done with, Best Little Stories from the White House. Goes all the way back to George Washington and some very interesting little known things that went on in the White House. So
I like little known things. I have a little known thing that I can't tell on the air about Mrs. Stoll, but
all right.
I'll tell you about that.
Okay, that sounds like a compromise. Hey, listen, you guys have a happy new year and be safe.
You too.
Happy new year. Thanks,
happy new year. Good luck on that operation.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
See ya.
Oh, I can't remember what we were talking about earlier. Oh, I know what it was. Oh, it just popped in my head as soon as he left us.
Now he left us.
Does he want the Geraldo Journal?
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Does he want the legendary Geraldo Journal, which has now came to fruition, to go to the Historical Society?
The Marion Historical Society will be the home of the leather-bound.
The leather-bound and the interview itself. They can have a copy of the interview itself there to
which
play
cool.
on a loop.
Sure. Yeah.
The moment that it happened, Christmas Eve 2021. But I don't know. I wish people got along better in politics. I think they do probably off the floor.
Well, see, that's what I'm afraid that Mr. Trump has done to politics. He's made it us against them, as opposed to us against bad stuff. I always liked it when we had a president, whether he is Republican or Democrat, that said, "I want to take care of the people of America." And right now, or under Trump, I don't think that was even in his mind. I doubt that he even cared.
I don't know. I think people. I think it. You know, it's all subjective.
Sure, it is.
Huh? I think it, you know, people feel the way they feel, and let them feel that way, and go on down the road.
You and I are dying right here on the.
I know it's quite a day.
Your nose is running.
I know it's.
Holy
it's,
God! We don't have COVID, right?
I hope not. I hope we don't. But you know, it's a strange thing though that I wish people would just get along.
Oh yeah,
because
I've said
I
that all my life.
Yeah, but it we have to really like the people who we really don't like. You know, that's convoluted, but you really do have to at some point say, okay, I don't like you, but I'm going to make a point to get along with you, no matter what you say or do.
I can't list on the fingers on my right or left hand the number of people I don't like, I credit that to my mother and my sister, who were wonderful people, and even if you said something that they hated, they thought, well, okay, that's the way they feel about it, but they're really a nice person other than that. And that's really kind of the way I feel, and I wish people would get that. I'm not saying I'm that wonderful. There are people that I will say bad things about, but in my heart, if I met them, I'm sure I would pat him on the back and say, let's get along.
Well, I just wish people understood that nobody gets up thinking they're a horrible person. If they did, they wouldn't get up.
Well, I think there are people that get up that don't care whether they're a horrible person or not, but they don't think that they're a horrible person. Boy, well, that's, now you give me your runny nose.
Oh, my God. it's a day, isn't it? I don't think you can transmit that fast.
I don't think
it works that way. But I don't really know what you do in society now, because we're all too willing to criticize people constantly. Every so often I'm okay with, but when it's constant, I think, okay, well, let them up for a second, and let's move on to the next thing.
One of the things I'd like to see people do is, I've said this about racial relationships, find a person that you really like that's Chinese, or that's African-American, or that's Indian, Native American, whatever you call them, and like them, and learn to like them better. And then all of a sudden you'll start realizing, hey, they're just like I am. I've found several of my friends who are Republicans, we just don't talk about, you know, things like Trump or something like that, but we talk about things that we agree on, and it's a lot easier.
You know, everything's just a page. Adolf Hitler, the worst person by most people's account in the history of the human race, really has become a page in history.
Yeah.
You know, he's a page in the history book. You know, you learn what he did. He hasn't lived in a lot of people's time now. Kids don't really understand the severity of what he did. And once you lapse out of people's time, that you lived in their time, you really don't, you're just a page. Yeah. And all these people now, you know, whether you liked or disliked Trump, whether you liked or disliked Biden, you know, they all will be a page one day. And that's it.
Unfortunately, we sometimes wet our little finger and go back to the page. And right now, that's one of the things that scares the daylights out of me. I've listened to and read things about Nazism and about what happened turned into World War II. And we have an awful lot of similar problems with the leadership. And I'm not just saying the Republican leadership, all leadership. We have to learn how to identify those things and change them.
But you know what, the odd thing is? Isn't your health really the bottom line? I think that's why this pandemic has put everything in
question.
I mean, to me, the pandemic is what it will be the most substantial event of anybody's lifetime, whether you like it or not, because it's not people have politicized aspects of it.
Yeah.
The pandemic itself, the illness that gets you, that
it
can put
care.
You no, not political,
no.
And it's it if you're dead, it doesn't matter who you're going to vote for. You ain't voting.
Yeah.
And if you are in the hospital, you don't ask the nurse or the doctor who's treating you if you're Republican or Democrat.
No,
did you vote for Trump? You voted for Trump? Oh, you can't work on me?
No,
it doesn't work like that. So these insignificant, I think it just, for me, put the significant, oh, Biden's got dementia, oh, Trump is, you know, awful. I don't care.
I don't either.
I just want to get up in the morning and feel good and come in and do something and then move on. And let's have fun. Let's have some fun.
I think you're right. I think health is one of the top things. But I really think family is even a little bit higher than your health. I could be on my deathbed as long as I knew I had family around or that my family cared. Okay, I'm well, and being 75 years old, you tend to think about that a lot more. And I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of any pain that might be involved with dying. But I'm not afraid of dying. I don't want to die. But I know I've got a family around me that cares and will miss me when I'm gone.
Well, you know what? I'm all for entertainment, and I'm all for conversations. But I wish that's what it was. People took it as a conversation because it really isn't going to change the world. I look right now of the things that Joe Biden's doing. I look at the things that Donald Trump did, and it's almost as if no other president existed. You know, oh, George Washington, what did he do? John Kennedy, what did he do?
Obviously, they're not listening to my show with two of my guests that know everything about politics.
But isn't it interesting though that these ones, you know, the last, I'm going to say four, W. Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. It's almost like every policy, everything that's in our world, everything that's going is from these four men.
I think you got to go back to Reagan.
Well, but I think those people, Reagan's dead.
Yeah.
H.W. Bush is dead.
But Reagan's policies have lived on in the Republican Party.
Well, it's funny how many people like Jimmy Carter now. And I think they just like him because, and he did do a lot of great post work, but he was a horrible president. I mean, I hate to say, this will make Dr. Feinman just jumped out of his suit somewhere in Florida.
I didn't think he was a horrible president. I liked him as a president.
I look at with a clean eye, looking at what Jimmy Carter did, and I think he was an engineer who thought he could do everything, and I think he did not know how to schmooze. He did not know how to compromise.
That's not a bad thing.
I think it was for him.
Not compromising is not a good thing, but
I think it was for him. I think that's why the Iran hostage crisis cost him the election.
Yeah.
I think that's why gas lines cost him the. He could not. He couldn't even compromise in his own party. This was the guy who said he was going to kick Ted Kennedy's can, and he didn't say can. You know, he was not well-liked even in his own party.
Well, I liked him.
Well, but did people really, when he was president, did he...
That's what I'm talking about, when he was president.
But he did. Liked him. People liked Reagan. Reagan won 49 states.
I never liked Reagan.
But he did. People
yeah,
did. 49 states in the 20th century. He won 49 states.
He was a famous movie star.
Yeah, but he also... Reagan, even the people who probably didn't vote for him, didn't mind that he was president. He was... He looked the part.
Yeah, I didn't.
He said things... Yeah, people... He said the things. He wasn't embarrassing. He was the guy. You know, and I think that's how they felt about George H.W. Bush until the economy went south. But I think he was just the guy. And I think that with Carter, people looked at the malaise. People looked at the Iran hostage crisis.
Which the following president cheated his way through.
Now, which part?
Well, the Iran...
You think there was a deal?
Yeah, I do. I think there was a deal.
You know, I tell you what. I don't think there was a deal with Reagan's people. I think... That there was a, I think the Iranians grew to hate Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to make him look bad.
Well,
and they
whatever
did.
It took, but I think he willingly went into that, and it showed it because right after he was elected, then.
Oh,
things
the moment.
Yeah.
The moment. And that's why I just don't think. What did Reagan have that would have allowed that? He was not in office at the time. And let's say the Iranian.
I'm sure the people knew that he was going to win long before he won.
Just no, I'm just saying, why didn't they release him on election day? Why did they wait till inauguration? That's what I'm saying. I think they did it just to show we don't like you, and the moment you're gone, we're going to do what would have helped you.
Yeah.
And he probably would have won.
I don't know.
It just, Carter, I think, tried his best, but I think just never really got the job. I don't think he ever really understood that you are not a dictator.
I don't think he ever wanted to be a dictator.
I think he thought, I need to get this done. You know, when he took, most presidents do, I think. Right, but he really tried hands. I mean, he took the leaders of Israel and Palestine down for the Camp David Accords and didn't sleep, and he was hands on. Yeah.
That was a very good thing he did.
Yeah, but he was very skeptical.
One of them killed, but
that didn't turn out so well.
No, that didn't turn out well.
But it was very hard for him to delegate out.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of presidents that struggle with that. I think Trump struggles with
that. I think ultimately that was his ruin. I think, honestly, had somebody else been negotiating the Iranian hostage crisis, it might have been to his benefit.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, and I think he came off to those people as... And his party, to say that about Ted Kennedy, did he not understand how many people like the Kennedys in this country?
That's a mistake.
Big mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
And the Kennedy coalition didn't really say, oh, boy... Let's get behind Jimmy Carter here.
Yeah.
So I think he just made a lot of mistakes. I think he did some great work after he was president, won the Nobel Peace Prize, built houses for people. Great. But I don't think he got... You know, there were very few people, in my opinion, and I don't ever want to talk about people currently because then it sounds partisan, but I can tell you people, Republican and Democrat, who I both really thought got how to be president. I think Reagan understood... how to be president.
How to look like a president.
Yep. I think Richard Nixon, by the time he got there, understood what a president...
Too bad he was nuts.
Yeah. He was paranoid.
Yeah.
I think that Franklin Roosevelt how to be president. I think...
Now he did darn near become a dictator.
Right. But I think those three, and you got a Democrat and two Republicans there, I think that they understood you can't do this job alone. You got to have good people around you. You got to be able to schmooze. You got to be able to cross the aisle. You got to be able to work the tube. And it's funny, I know people, and in Roosevelt's day, we're talking, of course, about radio. But Nixon was not good on television, but he worked at it. He really worked hard to try to be good on television.
Well, I'll add two presidents to that, Eisenhower and Clinton. I think both of those.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I think Clinton understood the presidency when he walked over to that woman in the debate and said, "I feel your pain." I think he got it.
Yeah.
I think that Eisenhower, for the most part, always had his war uniform on.
Yes, he did.
And I think that was smart.
But because people loved him because he was so successful in the war.
Ike. He had a nickname.
Yep,
you know, people.
I like Ike,
and I think he had that feeling. And then there were people who just did not understand how to be president. Lyndon Johnson got a lot done, but he would wear cowboy hats. He was horrible on television.
He lifted his dog up by the ears.
He would try to get newspaper people fired if they didn't.
He
was not good at that.
Yeah.
I think that Carter was not. He didn't get the gravitas.
I think you're probably more right on that. Yeah.
I think George W. Bush had a problem with the gravitas of the office.
I'm not sure George W. Bush was smart enough to be president. But
I just think, you know, honestly, and in parting here, I think that's one thing Trump did understand, to be honest with you. One thing I always hear that people liked about Trump was that America's the best, we're going to win, and Trump didn't look bad when he was not a weak person.
On teleprompter, he looked good.
Right. Well, and I think people, you know, I think in a weird way, Roosevelt was like that to some degree. Roosevelt, I hear, used to make reporters go stand in the corner if he didn't like the question. Unfortunately, that was the radio days. Not a whole lot of pictures of that.
Yeah.
But there you go. Progressive Life with Glenn Coble coming up next. And Nate Redmond today at 4. Trinity Baptist at 6, and I'll be back tomorrow morning for this hour. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why. During the first Jim Tressel press conference, when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is? I wish people were, had a lighter touch. Do I regret I said it? Probably so. But on the other hand,